Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Graduation Day. You know, yesterday I talked about being in His light. But why are we in His light? Well, we know that we have more than one life. We have our life here in the material world. But is that the only one we have? No. We have been promised that we will have eternal life with Jesus Christ and God the Father in heaven. If we didn't believe that, would we be sitting here this morning? No. But one of the things about that I find very interesting is, what is our life going to be like? Now, there's a good question, isn't it? Okay, we know from Scripture that we'll probably have a spirit body and all this stuff, but does God ever tell us what our daily life is going to be like in heaven? No. But one of the things that I believe is that when we get to heaven, we will be involved with all the people we love. I've had one pastor tell me one time, we won't know any of them. Well, if that's the case, would that be heaven? No, I don't think so either. And I don't think that God in His mercy or Jesus in His love for us is going to forbid us that in heaven. So what do we have? Well, we have a transition then between our earthly life and our heavenly life. Now, we know we have both lives, correct? So, when you get done with high school, what do? You graduate, don't you? And what happens after graduation? Well, for a lot of us, we either go to college or you go out in the real world and you got to get a job. Life goes on, doesn't it? And so I think this graduation day that we have between our earthly life and our heavenly life is the same kind of thing. Now stop and think about this for a second. How do we know this is true? Well, the Bible. Now, I told you yesterday in Susan's sermon that I was very blessed by being at the Veterans Hospital in Cincinnati. And I was with a lot of veterans as they made that transition from this life to the next. Invariably, no matter how hard or how bad the veteran was, at that time of transition, many of them smiled and reached out. What did they see that I didn't? Because there's something there. You don't smile, your eyes don't twinkle when you're dying if there's nothing there. Folks, that's when I really became a believer. Now stop and think about that. Did I believe before? Yes. But we always want, well, I want proof. All right? I want proof. Like Thomas, you know, I want to stick my fingers in the holes in his hands. I do that. Of course, Jesus comes back and says, Thomas, you know, do it. And he goes, okay. But when we look at this kind of thing, and we know that there is something out there, that we have something to look forward to, it's wonderful. I've told you this story before, and I'm going to tell it again. My Aunt Lizzie, actually it's my great Aunt Lizzie. Aunt Lizzie was 98 and a half years old, who was still farming in Rochester, Minnesota, had a 150-acre farm. Aunt Lizzie was sort of unique. Got a call one night, and I was in college, from her daughter Lottie, who was 77 years old. And she said, Mom had an accident last night. She was cutting hay, and the tractor was on one of the hills, and you know how rocks will work their way out of the ground? Anyway, tire hit the rock, turned the tractor over on her. So she was pretty badly beat up. Now, you got to understand, she was born in Russia. She's 98 and a half, okay? So she's only a year and a half away from being alive for a century. She's still farming, okay? Hadn't lost her mind at all. So I said, well, Lottie, let me talk to Aunt Lizzie. Okay. Aunt Lizzie, we're on our way. Don't come. She had this real gravelly Russian voice. And I said, well, Aunt Lizzie, they said you're going to die. Yeah, isn't it great? I don't know about you, but I sure didn't expect to hear that one. Well, I'm not going to do her voice anymore, but you can imagine what this conversation was like. So I said, Aunt Lizzie, I don't understand. And she said, you know, I outlived my husband, all my kids except for one, all my friends. I'm ready to go and be with Jesus. Love ya. And hung up the phone. And that night she got her wish. Folks, this is an old Russian lady who believes stronger than many of us sitting in this room today. And she was happy to go see Jesus. You think she enjoyed her graduation day? Oh, what a day. So folks, I want to leave you with this today. Donna's already in heaven. She's already had her graduation day. But you know, that's something all of us are going to face someday. Are we afraid of it? Or are we going to be like Aunt Lizzie and welcome it with open arms? I think all of us will welcome it on the day it comes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And let me turn this on. Wilma, if you would come up. Yeah, because, yes. And you got to talk into the Michael. Oh, Michael's going to do it? Okay, good. Got it. And the reason we're using the mic is because it's being recorded. So, and let me get out of your way here. We'll dance later.
This is my son, Michael. He's going to read what I wrote because, and it isn't long, but I don't know if I could get through it. I don't think
this is it's good. On. You got to talk into it.
Oh, is that better?
Yes.
Well, I think you all heard me anyway.
My sister, Donna. The best place to start is at the beginning. She was there in the hallway when I was born. She told me about the difficulty of me coming into the world, of how my maternal grandmother helped the doctor take the veil from over my head and breathe life into me. Donna was there. For every event in my life, she was there. For 82 years, she was there for me. She never judged. She always encouraged. She was with me from the beginning of my life, and I was with her at the end of hers. We had so much love for each other, my sister Donna and I.
Thank you. What we would like to do now is open this up for people to remember Donna, reminisce a little bit, share happiness, share sadness, but just remember our sister. Who would like to begin? Come on, Carmen. You can do okay.
This is very hard. Donna was the oldest of four daughters, and she was there for every one of us, and we tried to be there for her every minute of the day, all the time. She had, like all of us, ups and downs in her life. And sometimes it wasn't that easy, but luckily she was in Florida a long time and then she came back to Ohio, and then I was always there to help her when she needed it. But one of the funniest things that has ever happened was recently before she passed, and I'm going to say one bad word in it, and I hope God will forgive me. But she was still walking around, and it's before she lost all of her mobility, but she was still sharp till the day she passed. God blessed her with her brain the whole time, and in a way that was too sad because she knew what she couldn't do and she wanted to do. But they were still taking her down to eat at the table, but she wouldn't talk to anybody because she had sort of lost her speech, and that embarrassed her. She was terribly embarrassed because she couldn't do anything anymore, and she knew this. So we were walking up and down the hall when she could still walk, and I saw the lady that sat at her table, and I said, "Donna, do you know who that is?" She said, "No." She could say no and yes. So I said, "Honey, what is your name? I see you sitting at the table with Donna." She said, "I'm Valerie." I said, "This is my sister Donna." She says, "Oh yeah, we know Donna." And I said, "Well," so Donna said hi. And so Valerie said hi. So then we walked a little further, and there was her other table mate. And I said, "Honey, I've seen you with my sister at the dinner table. What is your name?" And, of course, it had to be Victoria. Now, I mean, two V's, and she's trying to comprehend all of this. So we go back to her room, and I'm saying, okay. In my mind, I'm thinking she needs to be a little more social. It would help her because she was getting so she didn't want to leave her room. And I said, "Okay, honey, let's do this." I said, "Say hi, I'm Donna." She said, "Say hi, I'm Donna." I said, "No, honey, don't say. Just say, hi, I'm Donna. Say hi, I'm Donna." I said, "Okay, don't say the word say. Just say, I'm Donna. Just say, I'm Donna." So, I mean, I'm starting to laugh at this point, and so was she. So finally I said, "Hi, I'm Donna." She said, "Hi, I'm Donna." I said, "Hi, I'm Carmen." And she looks at me and gives me this crazy little funny laugh, and she says, "No shit." Because she has been putting me on the whole time. She just knew what she was doing, and she was playing a joke on me in all of her whatever, and God forgive me for that, but she just knew what she was doing, and it was just sad and pitiful, but we loved her, and part of our family is missing, and we miss her dearly. Thank you.
Thank you. Who wants to be next? There's got to be more of us that remember Donna. All right, I had to bring that down for you. Remember, talk right into it.
Donna was just like our mother after our mother passed. She was all.
Put your mouth right up to it.
And it seemed like every time something happened, she just always was there when I had the first child. And one time, she stopped by on the way home from work. And I was my car, and she said, "My son had just tried to climb the fence and fell and broke his arm." And here come Donna. She stopped by after work. Because my husband was at work, and I didn't have the car, he did, so there she was, take us to the hospital. And then whenever I was going to have the second child, I had a lot of sickness with that one, and after we came home from the hospital, I wasn't supposed to lift him or hold him or do anything for 6 weeks. And so there was Donna again. She worked all day. She came and stayed all night with other people that did help me out at the time.
and sleep with a brand new baby, get up and feed it, and still get up and go to work. She just can't tell you how. She had no kids of her own, but had wonderful nephews and nieces. Ending with, why that was Donna's favorite song, because Donna loved to dance. And I didn't realize it. That song. That was her song. Mm-hmm. So thank you for being here. Because before she passed and before she, you could ask her things and she would say, shake her head if it was yes or no or whatever. And she did get out one day. Got worse. She said, Marlene, I want you to promise you'll do one thing for me after I pass. And I said, well, I'll try to do it if I can. She said, I don't want to be shown. I don't want a big kado. But she said, please let Pastor have a service for my church. So that's all.
Do we have anyone else? Okay. I want to share something about Donna. I told you this when she was sick. Yes.
I have one song I wanted to say.
Hold on 1 second.
The unbeliever, there ain't no sunshine when you're gone. She's in hell now if she wasn't a believer. No sunshine, no chance of anything. But where is she? What is she? There's a song I have in a hymnal. We don't have it in ours, but let me read you the words because it talks about Donna. Where she is now and where we want to be if we're believers. And if you aren't a believer, today's your day. I forget who it was yesterday. Somebody said, blink your eyes because maybe the next time you blink them, you're opening them and you're someplace you ain't here. That's how fast living and dying is. So if you aren't a believer today, right now, 2 seconds from now, you can have a heart attack. Right now is your time. If you are, let me give you some encouragement. It's an old song written back in, I don't know, there's no date on it, but Alfred Brumley wrote it. Some glad morning. This is Donna's glad morning. When this life is over, I'll fly away to a home in God's celestial shore. He's got a mansion for you. What did he say when he left? I'm going to build houses for you. I'm going to build mansions. Why not someplace along the lakeside where the temperature's always 74 degrees? Right? Okay.
Dream on.
Without any hurricanes. I'm sorry, I got my piano glasses on, and so I got to get this thing out here. To a home on God's celestial shore, I'll fly away. And what is the refrain is? I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison's barren floor, prison bars has flown. I'm sorry, I got the wrong glasses. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days, and then,
weary days,
I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. Oh, that land where God rest is, I'll fly away. Amen.
Amen. Yes, thank you. And we talk about the power of music. Should we say that the power of music is the power of the heart? I think it is. Let me share this with you about Donna. I went up to give her communion the last time, which was about, a week before she passed. Or a week before she graduated. Let's say it that way. Anyway, I walked in, and she was trying so hard to talk to me. She wanted to talk. And I said, Donna, you can nod your head and shake your head. I'm going to ask you some questions. I said, let's do communion. Is that okay? You know, and her head went up and down. And I said, you know, let's also have the forgiveness of sins. Are you sorry for your sins that you've committed? Okay. Do you want to have your sins forgiven? She went like that. I said, Donna, your sins are forgiven. And you don't need me for that. All you have to do is think about it and ask God. And they're freely forgiven. And so what I did, she was having trouble eating. So I had the little cups that Pastor Don gave us. And I took the top off and took the wafer out, and it was grape juice. Put some grape juice on it, and I touched it to her tongue. And she went like this. And I said, what's the matter? And she took my hand, pulled it back, and she put the wafer with a thing in it in her mouth. She wasn't supposed to eat, but she had the communion wafer with that. And I said, do you want the rest of the juice? So I gave that to her. But she wanted communion. And I said, Donna, I love you. And she looked up at me and said, I love you. And boy, I lost it. I got out in the hallway. I started to cry, you know. And I went to the elevators, and a black nurse came out to me, and she said, you want a hug? I said, I could use one. You know, one of the hardest things as a pastor is when you have people you love, and you got to be with them at the end. You know, and when we talk about graduation day, it's a joy, but it's a sad because you lose a friend. Or you lose your family member, you lose a sister. But you know what? We are all going to be together again. What a blessing that is.